Thank you, Mia. Mia has been a blessing to us over the last, in particular, over the last, again, at Vacation Bible School, we had trouble with the PA, and we didn't have Sarah there, who normally just knows what to do, jumps right in on it and takes care of it. And we had all these other people here that didn't know the board at all. And Mia doesn't really work on the board, but she was able to figure it out within a couple minutes and had it all taken care of. And everybody was like, whoa, who is this girl, you know? And her dad's like a tech guy, and I think she inherited some of those genes, you know? So it's to our advantage. So it's been a blessing. So thank you, Mia, for your assistance. And thank you, Sarah, for training and teaching. Sometimes the sound people don't get enough kudos, you know? And Sarah's up there. We don't see her. You don't see her, but I see her, and I see what she does before the service, you know, getting all this stuff ready, and she does a lot behind the scenes. So thank you, Sarah. Amen. All right. So there's this story that I'm sure we've all heard. I know I've spoken about it. We actually just spoke about it a little while ago in one of our classes on Thursdays. And it's in the book of Acts, and it's about Peter and John, and they heal this beggar. He's out there, and everybody in town knows this beggar. He's been crippled since birth. And, you know, he's out there, and he's asking for, you know, for healing. Please heal, you know. And if you remember the story, Peter and goes up and says, I don't have gold or silver. He wants money. But he says, but what I do have is, you know, I will give you. And he tells him to get up, rise up, and walk. And so, you know, before you know it, this beggar who was crippled since birth is now up, walking around. It says he's jumping up and down and praising God and thanking God for the healing. Now, you would think that the leaders, the religious leaders, would say, oh my gosh, this is wonderful. You know, God's power has been released and somebody is healed. But instead, they were mad. And they knew that Peter and John had been with Jesus and they were his disciples. And they did not want them going around praying in Jesus' name. And there was a reason. And you know what that reason was? They realized that when they spoke in Jesus' name, that they were speaking with the same authority that Jesus spoke with. And if you remember, when Jesus spoke, everybody recognized that he had this authority. And so here's these two guys now praying in Jesus' name, and they're getting results. And things began to happen, and the religious leaders realized that their teaching and their preaching and the healings were a direct threat to their power. They were like the establishment of today. They don't want people coming in and upsetting the apple cart. They want to keep their power. So as Christians, we need to recognize that this same authority that Peter and John had has been passed down to us. And it's rightfully ours because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And that's if we learn one critical lesson. If we want that same authority, if we want that within us, we ourselves have to first be under God's authority. See, God's not going to let us speak in His name and with His authority if we haven't submitted ourselves to Him. You remember the seven sons of Sceva? They tried that. They were chased out of town. They lost all their clothes and they got beat up by a bunch of demons. So all through Scripture, we find this principle at work about the authority of God and how it's been passed down. And those of us who are under God's authority, we can now operate in that same authority of power, and we also will have a protection that comes from God and provision that comes from God. And what we need to know is that this authority that we have from God has nothing to do with our talent, has nothing to do with our strength or our physical, even our spiritual strength. You know, just the fact that we can pray for hours or something like that. It has nothing to do with a booming voice. It has nothing to do with the fact that we spent hours in prayer. Authority is based on position. The position that somebody holds. And only God is in the position of complete and final authority. Only God has the freedom to act exactly as He wants. He has unrestricted freedom to make any decision, to cause any type of action, to cause anything to happen, any way, any place, any time, anywhere in the universe. He can direct or permit anything to happen because all authority belongs to Him. He is the source of all authority. So way back in the beginning in Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth and the entire universe, He decided to create mankind. We know that. And it was also His decision to give the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, or humanity, an opportunity to share in His authority. See, He wanted to bless us and be able to let us operate in at least a portion of that authority. And so in Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish," there's the rule, "over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every other living creature that moves on the ground." So God gave us authority over the earth. It was a perfect planet. It was literally the Garden of Eden. And there was perfect harmony between Adam and Eve and Adam and Eve and God. There was no, you know, problems. There was no discord. There was no strife. There was no jealousy. There was no striving. There was no selfish ambition. It was a wonderful time to be alive on earth. There's never been any time like it until Satan entered the picture. He came along with his lies and his scheming and his plotting and his masquerading, and he caused Adam and Eve to sin. And what happened was, because of that sin, the fellowship that they had with God was broken. And they were banished from the Garden of Eden. We know the story. Because man rebelled against God, then God's authority was taken from them. They lost it. They forfeited it. And what actually happened was they forfeited it, and the devil took it. Satan now had authority because humanity forfeited it. The sad truth is that not only did they lose that authority, but then they also lost the protection and the provisions that God's authority gave them. They unfortunately brought all humanity down to this place under the authority of the kingdom of darkness. Sin, death. That was now the ruling force in our beautiful Garden of Eden. It was totally changed, totally corrupted. So now mankind had to struggle to reach God, trying to reach God through the law, but the law couldn't do it. They tried to reach God through sacrifices, through rituals, and some got very close to God. There were people that did get close to God, but most failed. In fact, most didn't even try. For 4,000 years, the majority of people just pretty much gave in to Satan's authority and just lived for themselves, for their own pleasure, did what they wanted, and rejected God. A few of God's people managed to break through that in spite of all that was against them. But then finally, something happened. At just the right time, according to Scripture, at just the right time, in we're told in Isaiah 9:6, there's a child that was going to be born, and it says, and the government will be on his shoulders. There's that authority. Now this authority, godly authority, is coming back into the world. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government, there it is again, and peace, there will be no end. And we know that's talking about Jesus. If you remember when Jesus was in the desert, just after he was baptized and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, we're told that he went out and he was tempted by the devil. And the devil was starting to get worried about this guy Jesus that was rising up, and he began to recognize what was happening here. And he wanted to get him out of the way. So he thought he would try some of his con jobs. That's exactly what he was doing. It says in Luke 4:5, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. So Jesus said, that's great. I don't have to go to the cross. I don't have to do any of this stuff. Just give it to me. Is that what Jesus did? No. He knew this guy was a con man. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. There was no way Jesus was going to give in to this liar, to this thief, to this con artist. And you know what? The devil tries to pull the same thing on us all the time. I'll give you what you want. I'll make it easier for you. I'll give you what you need. I'll even give you the things God had planned for you. I'll give you whatever you want if you just listen to me. Just follow me. What a scammer. He tries the same thing on us that he tried on Jesus. But Jesus didn't need anything from Satan. And neither do we. Jesus had just come from the Father, and according to Hebrews 1:3, it says that he is the exact representation of his being. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was here to represent the Father, to represent the Father, and reveal all his glory and his authority on the earth. That's why when Jesus spoke, everybody recognized that he had authority. Who is this man? Who's this child that speaks with such authority? Who's this man that speaks with such authority? They didn't understand it, but they knew something was happening. When he spoke, it just came out, and they felt it. They knew it because the Word spoke. The Word who became flesh, the Word who was with God and was God, Jesus spoke. Jesus, we know he had authority over demons. He had authority over the wind and the waves and the seas, over time. He had authority over everything, over all material things. We saw him increase bread. We saw all kinds of things. He appeared through locked doors. He didn't even, you know, later on we saw this, but he had authority over the fish in the sea. He had authority to forgive sin. Now, this is something that you can't see that. You can't see somebody whose sin is forgiven. You can't see the forgiven sin. So in Mark 2:6, we're told a little story about that. It says, now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? Jesus said to this man, your sins are forgiven. And they said, he's blaspheming. No man can tell someone their sins are forgiven. That's blasphemy. Who can forgive sin but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And so he got up. He took his mat and he walked out in full view of everybody sitting there. And those leaders were just like, "Whoa. What just happened? Did you see that?" And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." But behind the scenes, those leaders were still, they were upset. They didn't like that somebody else was coming in here and people were starting to pay attention. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." There's a tremendous story about authority that I really like this one. In Matthew 8:5 through 13, it says that when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." And Jesus said to him, "I'll go heal him." "Yeah, show me the way. Let's go. I'll heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with this great a faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, and it will be done just as you believed it would." And the servant was healed at that very hour. Jesus, it said, was astonished that somebody actually understood real authority. They understood what kind of authority that Jesus had. When Jesus went to the temple and threw out the money changers, he displayed that authority. And when they asked him what proof he had for this authority, he said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up again in 3 days." And he was speaking, of course, about his body that was going to be crucified and died, and that he would rise up in 3 days. And the cross would end up being the most important part, the climax of his work here on this earth, the final proof of his authority. Because he would be not only crucified, but resurrected. Now, Satan didn't understand that. He didn't. Satan didn't understand what was going on there. He thought he was winning the war when he got Jesus arrested and condemned to death. He had no idea what was in store for him. At the moment Jesus died, when his blood was shed, that blood was the perfect sacrifice for our sin. The restoration of our relationship with God was made possible when that blood was shed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. There's no remission of sin. When that blood was shed, when Jesus died for our sin and his blood was shed, that was the sacrifice for our sin. And then something else happened. Once our sin was forgiven, and it was possible for us then to have that fellowship with God once again, the authority that Satan had enjoyed on this earth was stripped from him. It was taken from him. Colossians 2:15 says, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." And by the way, that's the proof right there that Satan does not know the future. He doesn't know everything. And this is the proof, because if Satan knew the future, would he have caused Jesus to go to the cross? The cross was his undoing. The cross was the defeat. That was the having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. How? By the cross. That's where they were defeated, at that cross. And here's the one, Satan, who actually set it all up behind the scenes. So Satan doesn't know the future. He thinks he does. He thinks he knows everything because he understands human nature. He does understand that. He's very wise. He's very scheming, very manipulative. But he doesn't have that authority anymore. He doesn't have foreknowledge. He doesn't know everything that's going on. He doesn't know it all. That's important for us to know. So not only have we been released from being under the authority of the devil now, but God now is calling us to come back under his authority. He's saying, "I want you under my authority so that you can operate with my authority." See, that's how authority comes into us. When we're under authority, then we have that authority. Just like that Roman centurion. And along with that authority, because he's given us the Holy Spirit, he's also given us power that goes along with that authority. And when we get under the authority of God, then we also enter into under his protection and his provision. So when we submit ourselves, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord as well as our Savior, when we get under his authority, we submit ourselves, when we listen to him and obey him, we get authority, we get power, we get protection, we get provision, we get blessed. People don't understand that. The world will never grasp that. They think Jesus is our crutch. And if they want to think that, that's fine, but he is so much more than a crutch. He's like our nuclear weapon. He gives it all to us. So some people might think that, okay, Satan's authority has been taken away from him, so we don't have to worry about him anymore. And that's not true. Aren't we warned to watch out for him? That he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? That he masquerades as an angel of light? That he schemes, he plots, he lies? He's still a powerful adversary. He's still an enemy. And we're warned to watch out, you know, so that he could devour us. So we have to be careful. We have to watch out for those fiery darts. He's still the world's greatest liar. He gets a little plaque he puts up on his mantle over the fire. It's a big fire. He's got this plaque there that says, "World's greatest liar," because he's the father of lies. He's a deceiver. He's a schemer, a plotter. And even though he has a lot of power, what we need to remember as Christians is that even though he's got power, he has no authority over us anymore. His authority is gone. He has no authority over us. There's a major difference between power and authority. We can see that in this little story right here in Exodus 17, 8 through 13. It says, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. Now, who knows what that staff of God represents? Anybody? Authority. God's authority. That staff was a symbol of the authority of God. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses ordered, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands with the staff, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired then, so they took a stone and they set it under him and he sat on it. And then Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady until sunset. And then Joshua overcame the Amalekites, their army, with a sword. So the victory was decided not on the strength of the army. The victory was decided because of the authority of God. Because God told Moses to tell Joseph. And as long as Joseph was out there fighting the battle and Moses was holding up that staff of authority, Joshua was winning. And it was the same army, and then if he put down his staff, they started losing. He put the staff up, they started winning. Down, that could have been a fun game. Watch this, guys. Watch this. Watch this, you know? Authority was the key here, not power. See, there's a difference between power and authority. So even though Satan still has power, for those of us who are submitted to Christ and under his authority, and we have his authority then, Satan has no authority over us. None. In fact, this is the great part. The tables have been completely turned around. They have. When we are in Christ, we are the ones who now have authority. And there's a scripture here in Luke 10:19. It says, I have given, now this would be speaking, it was speaking to the disciples then, but it's also for us. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So see, we have now overcome the enemy's power. We now have authority over the enemy. You've got to remember that. We have the authority. When Jesus was praying in John 17:11, he said, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me. That's the name of Jesus. So the authority that we have is in the name of Jesus. Remember when Peter and John were out there praying? They were praying in the name of Jesus. You remember the leaders, what they said? We don't want you praying in this name. They recognized that there was authority in that name and power. And that's what we have to remember. It's not our strength. We can't. Our will is not strong enough. Our human will, this fleshly will, is not strong enough to overcome the attacks of the enemy. But we can resist the enemy, we can reject the enemy, and we can take authority over the enemy's plots in our life. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus is sending us out with his authority, under his authority. We've been talking about being sent by God. Jesus is sending us out with his authority. He doesn't just send us out and hope for the best. He sends us out with the power, under the power of the Holy Spirit, and with his authority. We have power, we have authority in the name of Jesus. The devil will try to rob you of that. He'll try to deceive you. He'll try to offer you phony, you know, substitutions for what you want. And we got to take authority even over those thoughts, those temptations. We need that power and authority, and I'll tell you why. Right here, Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil." So that's where our struggle, that's what we're battling, that thing. But God wants us to know that in that struggle, that fight, that war, we do not fight as the world fights. We have weapons that are beyond that. And the weapons we have are comes with the authority and the power of God, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. We as Christians have a responsibility to enforce the victory of the cross. We're His ambassadors. We're ambassadors for God, and we see that someone's getting destroyed. Someone's getting beat up. Maybe it's even us or someone in our family. It's our job to enforce, to reinforce the victory of the cross and reestablish godly authority in that situation where the devil has tried to take authority. We don't have to re-defeat the devil. He's already been defeated. We just have to represent the victory of the cross. We've got God's authority. We have authority, we're told, to demolish strongholds. In our own life, there are things that have held us back sometimes. Something like fear or anger or doubt or whatever it might be. All kinds of things. These are sometimes strongholds. Maybe we'll talk about that in the future. But these strongholds, they've sort of taken authority over our flesh. And we've been given the authority to demolish strongholds. The very things that have held us back. Arguments, pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. See, the knowledge of God is not just knowing about God, but it's knowing that He's given us authority to destroy those strongholds. We can enter the battle through intercessory prayer, through just, you know, praying for others, praying for ourselves. We can exercise that authority in all kinds of situations, all kinds of times where we can just enter in and pray. We can speak the truth. We can reveal God's truth in a situation where somebody can't see it, doesn't know it. We can set an example. We can love. We can serve. We can forgive. We can show mercy. We can show kindness. In all these areas, we can show strength. We can reject fear and be bold and strong and courageous in situations where we used to be afraid. We can do those kind of things because we say, you know what, I got authority. God's given me authority. He's given me this position, this power, this ability to step into that situation and bring the truth without fear. That's our job. We're ambassadors. It's as though God is having us speak His words through our mouth. That's what we're told. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Doesn't it tell us that? Satan will try to get you back on his team. He's always trying to get you back. Hey, man, come on, let's get the band together again. You know? And you know, he wants us to get back and give him our heart. Give him our adoration, in a sense, or maybe just our fear. But we have this authority to defeat him and to plunder his kingdom. When, you remember, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Every time someone gives their life to Christ, we have just plundered that kingdom. We have just robbed him. He doesn't like it. That's what we do. That's what that authority that we have is able to do. We're able to go in and steal from the enemy. That's what we're doing when someone gets saved. We're robbing him. When you got saved, Somebody was there to help you in some way, somehow, whatever, however you got out of that, the kingdom of darkness was plundered. We've been called to be a people of authority. And as I said earlier, along with that authority comes power, provision and blessing, protection, all kinds of great things. The centurion soldier, he understood that authority. And God wants us, that's why he told us that story. He wants us to understand that authority. Jesus didn't even have to be there. He just had to send word. He just had to say it and tell someone. We got to ask ourselves, are we under the authority of God? See, this is the key. If we want to operate under authority, we have to be under authority. That's what that centurion understood. So we have to be under authority. We have to be submitted to the authority that God has called us to be under. And, of course, the most important thing of all is the Word. Are we under the authority of God's Word? Are we loving God enough to obey His Word? Are we where God has placed us, in the church He wants us to be in, in relationships that He wants us to be in? Are we under the authority of our parents when we're a child? Are we in that place where God has put us, and do we submit ourselves to, you know, to be that person in that place and then get the blessing that comes with that? Remember, it tells us in Romans 13:1 that every authority that's been established has been established by God. Even our government, the authority of our government, that's something that's been established by God. Sometimes we like it, sometimes we don't. But that is the authority that's been established, and somehow God is going to work it all out. He works it out. He works it out. God wants us to be a people who understand, respect, and respect authority so that we can then use that authority that He wants us to have, that He gives us for His purposes, to build up, to strengthen, to encourage one another, to strengthen the kingdom, to build His kingdom, to advance the kingdom of God, to destroy the works of the devil, by enforcing Christ's victory. That's our job. That's an amazing job when you think about it. You and me, we get to build the kingdom of God, advance the kingdom of God, while at the same time plunder, destroy, knock down the kingdom of darkness. A kingdom, a powerful kingdom that ruled the earth for thousands of years. And you can rob it. You can defeat it. You can, you know, you're not going to destroy the whole kingdom. That's got a ways to go yet. But you can destroy sections by pulling people out of it. That's our job. By exposing the lies and shining the truth in, by bringing the light in, because the light overcomes the darkness. That's why we're supposed to be that light, you know, that's up above everything, a light shining on a hill. Our lives should be enough to, you know, just to explain and show forth the power, the beauty, the glory, the majesty of God, and help expose the darkness and the evil of the devil's kingdom. We are to represent or represent, just like Jesus did, a victorious, powerful, merciful, just, loving kingdom that is the kingdom of God. That's our job. That's our job. And we have all the authority that we need to do that job. God has given us the authority to be kingdom builders. He sent us out with authority to be kingdom builders, plundering the kingdom of darkness. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. If I could have the prayer team come up. Father, we want to thank you so much that you have rescued us from the kingdom of darkness, that you have made a way where once there was no way, where you sent your Son Jesus into this earth to redeem us. As we sang today, you are our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord God, for rescuing us from the kingdom of darkness and bringing us into your kingdom. And now help us to walk in this godly authority, to go out day after day into this world in that authority, with that knowledge, that understanding of who you are, and share that with the world. To constantly be looking for ways to build the kingdom, to seek first the kingdom in all its glory, and to rescue people. To rescue people from the darkness that they are lost in, from the hopelessness that they are lost in, from the lies and the deceptions of the enemy. Lord, help us to speak truth, to speak life, to speak mercy, to speak love, to speak your power. Help us, Lord God, to be kingdom builders, sent out into the world with your authority. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. We do have coffee and donuts upstairs. Stick around and have fellowship. If you need prayer for anything, we got prayer up here. Come on up and get prayer. Thanks for coming out today, and God bless you.